I believe we're joined now by Zafar Benkesh, Crescent International. Are you there, Zafar?
Hello, Phil. Yes, I am.
Okay. Zafar, it's very good to be talking to you because there seems to be a gap in reporting on this very volatile, dangerous situation of developing around Iraq, Syria as the main targets, but also the intervention of U.S. Air power. What I'm concerned about is I don't notice that people are distinguishing who's involved and why are they involved. At the UN, the Syrian ambassador, actually the Russian, of course, too, and the Chinese, said that if we're going to have a struggle here over terrorism, and we all agree, but it has to be comprehensive and include all of us. And if there's going to be a decision made, it ought to be one that involves all the parties. Now, Iran is not involved. Russia is not involved. The United States says it is putting together a coalition, and it is bombing. And it's bombing inside Syria. So this started off, the issue was, forgive my long prelude, it started off, they said we had a problem in Iraq. But now, the United States, Saudi Arabia, a monarchy, Qatar, a monarchy, United Arab Emirates, monarchies, Jordan, monarchy, are bombing Syria. I want to know, did the Iraqi government, which said we wouldn't mind getting some air support provided we sign off on its usage, did they ask the United States to bomb any target in Syria?
No. Iraq neither has the authority to ask anybody to bomb anything in Syria, nor have they done so. It would be just like my calling a thief or a robber to go into my neighbor's house and beat up my neighbor. I mean, I have no right to do that. And the United States doesn't have that right. Iraq doesn't have that right. Ultimately, it has to be determined by the Syrian government. Mm-hmm. Now, the Syrian government has indicated, and there have been statements both from the Syrian foreign minister, Walid al-Muallam, who incidentally spoke at the UN on Saturday, at which he said that the policy that the U.S. is pursuing is contradictory because on the one hand, it says that it wants to go after this group, this terrorist group that the U.S. refers to as ISIL, the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, whatever name is used for this particular group. But the Syrian foreign minister said that if this group is the target, which obviously has committed a lot of crimes, then the Syrian government has to be involved in it as well. Whereas what we hear from the U.S. is that they have said that they would go and bomb these areas and that they do not need any permission from Syria. And if the Syrian air defenses attempt to intercept or resist any of the U.S. airstrikes, then the U.S. would go after Syrian air defenses as well.
In their own air force, over their own covered country.
In their own country, exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, in fact, what it seems to me is that there is what has obviously been referred to by other commentators as well, that this is a mission creep. They started off with saying we are going to go after these terrorists and we are going to establish a coalition of the willing. And as you mentioned, these four or five monarchies, including Bahrain, another unelected tribal monarchy, mm-hmm. that these people are participating in bombing attacks against ISIL targets in Iraq and in Syria. The Americans have said that they have used cruise missiles, they have air force, etc., against targets in Syria. But what is of great concern is that on Friday, the Turkish president, now he used to be the prime minister, now he's the president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, upon his return from the UN, he told journalists in Ankara that he wants a no-fly zone to be imposed on Syria. Of course, he said it should be in the eastern part of Syria, by which he meant that the Syrian Air Force should not be allowed to operate in that region. And the same day, within a few hours, U.S. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel, as well as Chairman Joint Chiefs of Staff General Martin Dempsey, also at a Pentagon press conference, said that they are considering that option. And they said, while no decision has been made on this, but they might consider it and they might impose a no-fly zone over Syria. Now, this is a very dangerous kind of talk and development, because Syria is fighting against these terrorist groups. And the U.S. is saying that it only the U.S. is authorized to carry out whatever attacks it wants, but the Syrian government cannot defend its own territory. It cannot fly its air force planes inside or over that territory, and it cannot bomb these terrorist targets in the eastern part of Syria. I mean, this is the most bizarre kind of situation that has developed, and to me it seems as if the U.S. is basically positioning itself to provoke Syria, the Syrian government and the Syrian armed forces and air force, so that it would have a pretext, which appears to be the real objective of this whole exercise, to go after Syrian military assets to destroy them, so that that would enable opposition forces to overthrow a legitimately established government in Syria. We must remember that on June the 3rd, there were elections in Syria, and the overwhelming majority of the Syrian people voted for Bashar al-Assad. Whether we like him or not is none of our business. That is up to the Syrian people to decide. And if the Syrian people have made a choice, then the rest of the world ought to respect that. So the situation that we face today is that the U.S. is saying that it doesn't care for the wishes of the Syrian people. It is determined to overthrow the Syrian government by carrying out not only bombing raids against these terrorist groups, but also they will attack Syrian military targets, air force planes, air defenses, if they try to resist American war planes.
This is Zafar Benguys, Crescent International, crescent-international.com. Am I right?
Crescent-online.net.
Yeah. Sorry. No, .net. I'm sorry. Well, that's, of course, another issue, too. The $500 million that Congress approved to be given to someone who is going to attack a sovereign state. And they do this in broad daylight. You know, I've heard people say, you know, the best thieves, you know, walk right into banks and take the money. How anybody could be talking about the U.S. fighting terrorism when they appropriate $500 million, and the Saudis say we'll train them in Saudi Arabia, a pure monarchy and a highly sectarian form of Islam. That's going to be a home base to overthrow a sovereign republic, a secular state.
Well, this is the
how
irony.
How can we proceed? I mean, I hope people will begin to put their feet down, but please, go ahead.
Yes, I was going to say that this is the irony of this whole situation, that since 2011, the Saudis have been arming, training, and financing these terrorist groups, and they kept on saying that these are moderate rebels. The CIA itself has been training these so-called moderate rebels in a military base in Jordan for from the end of 2012.
Yeah, and by the way, that isn't a secret. I mean, even the New York Times and others have acknowledged that. They just don't feature that story, but they've said it.
Correct. And now all of a sudden, all of these so-called moderates have turned out to be not so moderate. All they've done is once they go into Syria, that they promptly join any of these terrorist outfits. Whosoever is able to pay these mercenaries, mm-hmm. These whether they are moderates or extremists or whatever, they're all part of the same group, the same setup. Mm-hmm. All they do is they simply change labels. So today's moderate becomes tomorrow's extremist. Mm-hmm. And it all depends on who is financing them, who pays their salary. And it so happens that ISIL, this group, I don't actually call them ISIL or ISIS. I prefer to call them the Takfiri terrorists, which means they brand anybody that they do not agree with as non-believers, and therefore, according to their demented ideology, mm-hmm. they think that gives them permission to kill people, which mm-hmm. is absolutely forbidden in Islam. Islam does not permit to kill any innocent people, whether you agree with them or you disagree with them. But somehow these people are continuing with this kind of a demented policy. Now these takfiris, now the Saudis say that they're going to be training them. And we need to keep in mind that it is the same Saudi ideology of hatred that these people carry within them, and this is the ideology of hatred that has spread, unfortunately, throughout the Muslim world. And in fact, even within Saudi Arabia, people have become sick and tired of this kind of an ideology that the Saudi regime is propagating. That is why there are more than 30,000 political prisoners in Saudi jails. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a hell of a lot of people to put in prison. Why? Because these people simply called for reforms in Saudi Arabia. They didn't even call for overthrowing the government of Saudi Arabia. And so what we are witnessing is that in Saudi Arabia, that wouldn't even allow people to ask for reforms in the political system. Otherwise, they are thrown in jail. And yet, the same Saudi Arabia is going to be training more people, this time with the consent and cooperation of the United States government, to try and train people that are going to then be unleashed in Syria to overthrow the government of Syria. Mm-hmm. But, I think as your listeners should ask this question, suppose the Syrian government were to say that we are going to train people in Syria and then we are going to send them into Saudi Arabia because it is a brutal dictatorship. It is a monarchy where people have absolutely no rights. Women have no rights. They can't even drive cars. And I don't know where they got this silly notion from that women cannot drive cars. Mm-hmm. Which religious text says that women cannot drive cars? And yet this is the kind of medieval attitudes that this Saudi monarchy, backed by the U.S., created by the British, now backed by the U.S., to serve their own imperial interests, and yet these people are supposed to be the staunchest allies of the United States to bring about the overthrow of the legitimately elected government in Syria.
Yeah.
And to install a regime over there that would be subservient to the interests of the Saudi monarchy and U.S. imperialists.
Yeah, and by the way, this fact that Assad had an election, people forget that, there was a lot of propaganda around that, but the media that were following the actual voting said that there really was no question that the vast majority of the population wanted this government to survive and to go on because they understood what the options were. And they took votes, you recall, in neighboring states, and those people, the refugees, were voting for Assad. And
exactly.
That bothered them very, very much. And here they, to talk about totalitarian thinking, that has been dropped from our reality, but that was the reality. It was clear that faced with terrorist assaults by foreign mercenaries, with terrible deeds perpetrated against the Syrians, heads being cut off, Christians having their churches blown up, etc., they made this but the choice that you would expect any people to make. They said, we want the president we have against those people.
But that is correct.
But that's been thrown into the memory hole, we're not reminded. That's treated as though it was a joke. It was a very serious election.
That's right. In fact, the biggest shocker for the media, the Western media, as well as Western governments, was the reaction of Syrian refugees in Lebanon. They were required to vote on May the 28th, and so many hundreds of thousands of them streamed to the Syrian embassy in Beirut that they jammed all the highways. And all of these people were carrying Syrian flags and photographs of Bashar al-Assad.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be very honest with you. I myself was very surprised because despite the fact that I was keeping track of the news, I did not think that Bashar al-Assad enjoyed such overwhelming support among the Syrian people. Mm-hmm. I was prepared to give him a plurality of support, but mm-hmm. I didn't realize, and as you pointed out, that the people, thinking rationally, they looked at the options. On the one hand, they were given a choice to go with these people that behead people, that they eat organs of people, these cannibals. Mm-hmm. They destroy, you know, religious places. They destroy thousands of years old churches and so on, monasteries. And on the other hand, they had a choice to elect a president, Bashar al-Assad, or to reaffirm him as president, because they saw him as the only hope who was prepared to stand up to these terrorists, these medieval thugs, mm-hmm. and these cannibals. And the people of Syria made a very wise choice,
mm-hmm.
That they did not want absolute chaos and absolute mass murderers and beheaders and cannibals to represent them.
Mm-hmm.
And they went for Bashar al-Assad.
Yeah.
And yet, as you said, regrettably, that fact has now been completely wiped out. It is not mentioned at all in news reports, and the U.S. still continues to talk about Barack Obama, including only yesterday. He again mentioned that with Bashar al-Assad, there can be no peace in Syria. Now, right. He thinks that he is the one who is going to decide for the Syrian people who they should elect as their president.
Yeah, the great Caliph himself.
The
this is Zafar Benghazi, crescent-online.net. I have to ask you the question I put to Scott Taylor. We had him on a week ago. And the United States invaded Iraq and captured power there. And then they said, well, we're going to set up a new government, it'll be democratic, et cetera, and we'll form a new army. And that was more than 10 years ago. And they said, and when it's ready, we will leave. And then they said, well, you know, it's about that time, we can leave. But there's no Air Force. Why doesn't Iraq have an Air Force?
Because the United States refuses to supply them planes that they have asked for. In fact, in some instances, the Iraqis have even paid for it, but the Americans refuse to give them those planes in order for the Iraqi government to defend itself. And interestingly, yesterday, both Obama as well as other administration officials, including his national security advisor, James Clapper, admitted, they said that our estimate of the capabilities of the Iraqi army were quite exaggerated. Now, this was the same U.S. government that had said that they had trained the Iraqi army by spending not only billions of dollars, but they had spent trillions of dollars training that Iraqi army. And yet, now they are claiming that that Iraqi army is not capable of defending Iraq.
And it has it doesn't have significant aerial support. It has a few planes.
That's correct.
But not sufficient. And so, in other words, America is in Iraq's air force. So they control the airspace of Iraq, and now they've moved it over into Syria. By the way, had there been an Iraqi air force, there wouldn't be any excuse to be in there in Iraq or Syria.
That's correct, yes. The fact that the Iraqi government has been deliberately denied access or availability of proper planes, Air Force planes, which incidentally the Iraqis prior to the overthrow of the government in Iraq, the government of Saddam Hussein, Iraq had an Air Force which comprised planes from Russia as well as France, but then since the U.S. came, Russia has been shut out of that area, and the U.S. Insists that it alone will be supplying weapons to the Iraqis, mm-hmm. and yet it adamantly refuses to provide Air Force planes. And I think it is true if, let's say, the Iraqis had proper air support, proper Air Force planes, then I believe that these Takfiri terrorists, the ISIL thugs, mm-hmm. would not have been able to make progress inside Iraq and capture large parts of Iraqi territory, particularly mm-hmm. cities like Mosul and Tikrit and other places that mm-hmm. they currently occupy in northern Iraq or northwestern Iraq, at least.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Zafar Benghash, crescent-online.net. Now, about these monarchies and their role, there's another detail that they are bombing, their planes are bombing inside Syria. They're not bombing in Iraq. Their target is Syria, the Saudis, the Qataris, the Jordanians. Is that, am I right? They're bombing only on the Syrian, in the Syrian territory?
No. As far as my information is concerned, I believe that they have carried out bombing raids inside Iraq, but they haven't gone into Syria yet. No, only the Americans are involved.
Is that true? So these reports that Qatar is here for, and UAE, that they bombed in Syria, they have not done that?
I don't think so. I haven't seen those reports. I believe that...
That's interesting.
Yes, that they carried out those attacks only inside Iraq at this time, but they hadn't gone into Syria. Because the areas in Syria that have been bombed is a place called Raqqa, which is considered mm-hmm. to be the main stronghold of these terrorist groups, that has been attacked and bombed by the Americans and also hit by cruise missiles. Mm-hmm. But the information was that before the Americans came to attack, these terrorist groups actually moved out of the buildings and the bases that they were controlling, and they just spread out into the countryside. Mm-hmm. So I'm not quite sure exactly what kind of damage has been caused to their assets. Mm-hmm. The information that I have is that a number of civilians were killed in that area. The figures range from 11 to 40 civilians. Mm-hmm. Obviously, since there are no direct reporters present in the area, so we cannot get any accurate information. But these are the figures that have been quoted from mm-hmm. various sources.
Well, by the way, that raises some questions, because Saudi Arabia, in the past certainly year or so, the government in Baghdad has been very critical of the role of Saudi Arabia in its internal affairs. So they are tolerating Saudi planes?
Well, what has happened is that, there was...
In addition, could I just ask in your answer, Iraq says it will be will decide where the planes are used, but... So what has happened? Is that actually the reality or not? Is America listening to Iraq, direction of the bombing inside their own country?
To answer the last part of your question, I would say no. The Iraqis obviously would try to present themselves as being in control of the situation. But I doubt very much if, even if they were to tell the Americans or ask them to do certain things, that the Americans would listen very mm-hmm. much. Mm-hmm. But we need to also look into the situation with respect to who is in power at the moment. Now, you see, the Saudis had a great deal of problem with the former Prime Minister, Nouri al-Maliki. And I think, unfortunately, Nouri al-Maliki did display certain sectarian tendencies, and he alienated certain segments of the population in Iraq. The new prime minister, the prime minister who is now in sort of already, you know, in power, Haider al-Abadi, appears to be a much more conciliatory figure who is willing to work with various groups. So I believe that Maliki's removal from power, from the prime ministerial post, was in fact a concession to the Saudis to neutralize them, or at least to tone down their hostility towards Iraq and to prevent them from interfering too much in the affairs of Iraq. Mm-hmm. But I personally believe that the game is much bigger than simply Nouri al-Maliki or Haider al-Abadi. The Saudis really are chafing under the reality that they have lost much of their influence in Iraq because previously they were backing groups that were closely aligned with the Saudis. And now Iraq is in the hands of those people that are not close to the Saudis, that are much closer to Iran. And that obviously has got the Saudis, you know, very worried, and they are chafing under that, and so they are acting as spoilers.
Yes.
Now, with respect to the, you know, what you said with respect to the decision or the decision of the Iraqi government to determine the targets, I'm afraid I don't think the Iraqi government is in a position mm-hmm. to dictate the choice of those targets, and even if they were to.
I wonder if the population is aware or being told that Saudi planes are attacking in their in Iraqi territory.
That's a good question. I really don't know, quite honestly.
I'll make sure that I'll write that one down, and we'll come back to it. I'll ask you a last question. The Syrian ambassador to the United Nations pointed out in a short talk, nobody seems to comment on it, that UN forces, due to intimidation, were removed, I don't know if they're back, in the Golan Heights, and that there are ISIS people there who are obviously getting the support, medical and some military, from the Israelis. And the Israelis shot down a Syrian plane.
Yes.
Now, exactly. How did they get there? Am I right in hearing that it came from Jordan, that the ISIS people entered from Jordan? How did they get into the Golan?
Well, I think that's a very...
Oh, and what does ISIS think of Israel?
They have not uttered a single word against Israel. They say that our fight is not with Israel. And so, you know, they have received, as you quite rightly said, they have received medical help, they have received material help, military help, etc., from the Israelis, and the Israelis are keen to have the ISIS people on the Golan Heights rather than the Syrian army to be over there. And so, you know, we need to also keep in mind that the Golan Heights are occupied territory. The Golan Heights belong to Syria.
Yes.
The Israelis have illegally occupied those. They occupied them in 1967. And then in 1982, the Israelis declared the Golan Heights as part of their territory. It's something that people have not mentioned.
Have those UN four elements been removed? They were chased out for a while. Are they back? Because that's a very dangerous situation.
Exactly. In fact, there were Filipino troops over there. They were allegedly kidnapped by these ISIS people, and then they managed to make their escape. At least that was the information that was released. My reading of the situation is that, in fact, this was all a ploy, that there was a deal made, that these people were quote-unquote kidnapped by the ISIS people, and then when the Israelis gave them the green light, they let them go, and the Filipino UN troops fighting or present under the blue helmets then were let go and they returned to their areas. So I'm not sure if all of the UN troops have returned to their positions. Mm-hmm. But
ISIS remains there.
ISIS remains
and
there.
And Israel
exactly.
has used its air power to knock out a Syrian plane.
Exactly.
And ISIS does not have a problem with Israel.
That's correct. Yes.
Very important story. Zafar Bengash, we're very grateful. Crescent-online.net. Look forward to talking to you again. We will come back to that question, if I can remember now what it was. But we'll,
okay.
we will make sure we find out. Thank you.
Thank you. Great pleasure. Yeah. Take care.
Bye-bye.